Tariq El-Bashir on the Redskins coming up at 8:05. Wes McElroy, Fox Sports 910, along with John Lazor, who joins us every Wednesday. He's brought to you by Cowan Gates at 11 attorneys on staff. Cowan Gates, there for you in any case. I heard you made a flyby the other night here in Richmond, buddy.
I did, quite literally, actually. We came down for the Richmond Hokie Club tip-off dinner. It was a great time.
So you guys spent time, a little quality time with Buzz?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, actually. We flew down, and in the traveling party was Buzz Williams, but also Dennis Wolf, who, of course, was the longtime men's coach at Boston University before becoming the women's coach here at Virginia Tech. So it was interesting to sit in the back and listen to those two talk X's and O's and strategies and things like that, but then just to spend a few hours around Buzz as closely as you can, because he was quite literally moving here, there, and everywhere. And then eventually we got him corralled on the stage, and we talked about basketball a little bit. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun year, man, traveling with him and his program. I'm really looking forward to that.
That was kind of my follow-up question. You can't get a down moment with Buzz because Buzz doesn't have a down moment. But when you get talk to him and start picking his brain, like, what's kind of the initial thoughts that he has about this team coming into this year?
Well, definitely setbacks with Ty Outlaw not being able to play this year and Ahmed Hill potentially being redshirted. I think that put quite a big kink in the plan that he had in terms of how minutes were going to be spaced and how the floor was going to be spaced. But at the same time, I know he's enthusiastic about the guys that you are bringing in and how you're going to allot the players on the floor. But Seth Allen's going to be a big part of it. Zach Ledé is going to be a big part of it. I think he's counting quite a bit on Cape Henry's Chris Clark this year as well, and he talks about that pretty openly. But it's going to be a work in progress, and the good thing is I think when you look at the non-conference schedule, not to disparage the opponents on it, but you're going to have some time to be a work in progress and do that with some success. You know, for years we've seen Shaka Smart at VCU really take on all comers and try to cut the teeth, so to speak, by taking your blows, as it were, on the floor. And I think you're going to see the opposite kind of entry into the season this year with Virginia Tech, where you're going to be able to learn some things about what you have. But the overall consensus is they're going to definitely be faster and longer and just flat out better than they were last year. Now, whether or not that means you can rise to the level to compete night in and night out in the ACC, that's what we're going to have to determine, because, of course, that is a very tough challenge.
Hoops around the corner. John Lazor with us here on Fox Sports 910. Plenty of time for basketball in the upcoming weeks, but speaking things around the corner, that would be the Duke Blue Devils. Touched on them in the first segment, but as we look ahead here, who or what catches your eye? Like, what's the first thing that jumps out to you when you start looking at Duke in this matchup this Saturday?
Well, first and foremost, any opportunity I get to mention Easy Ed McCaffrey is a great opportunity, so I want to start right there, because, of course, he refused to wear the NFL-caliber shoulder pads throughout his entire career because he was that tough. So I'm looking forward to seeing what his son brings to the table, and Max McCaffrey. But, no, I'm curious because, you know, you hear that they're not your father's Duke. And for somebody who hasn't necessarily spent the last few years watching the progression of this Duke program, that's what I remember. You know, that's why you're scheduled as the homecoming opponent, and that's what they are this week in Blacksburg, because you're able to generally beat them. But that has not been the case because David Cutcliffe has done such a great job. So I want to see how stout this defense is. I want to see what their game plan is in terms of getting after Michael Brewer. Michael said after last week's game he expected teams to come after him because they recognize that he's not necessarily fragile, but at the same time there are question marks about how he has come back. So it's going to be interesting to see. You mentioned that Duke's not a team that makes a lot of mistakes, and that usually means they play it fairly close to the vest and are disciplined. Well, I'd like to see if they get aggressive on the road and come after Michael defensively with that front seven and maybe that experienced secondary as well. And then also how you're able to contain Thomas Cirque, because he, again, is a multidimensional quarterback who's their leading rusher as well as their throwing option. So it's going to be a challenge for the Hokies for sure. But again, more than anything, I think right now, and we've said this for weeks, you're looking internally to see how this team responds to the emotion that is Michael Brewer returning, how they respond to the emotion or desperation maybe of the situation, because I think that's the elephant in the room right now, is the fact that if you lose this game this weekend, things are going to get pretty dark in Blacksburg, and unfortunately that's just an honest opinion.
On the note of guys returning, Corey Marshall, chances that he's back this week or would be what?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Mike Goforth didn't necessarily have an answer for me on that yesterday, and I know he hasn't. He's been practicing, but he has not been practicing at full strength, so I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you, and I don't think that decision has been made as of yet.
How about Charlie Wiles last night? Barber had this in the Times-Dispatch, at least on his Twitter account. Charlie Wiles on Daddy Nicholas's hand, that right now he's Lobster Boy. How bad is that hand?
Well, I think you've seen it throughout the season where there's been plays and been positions where Daddy would have easily made the play in the past. They just can't because he can't clamp with that lobster claw, and that's what Charlie was talking about. I was actually there when he said that. But, yeah, it's been a factor because, you know, he's a speed rush guy, and he gets to the quarterback and generally uses those big hands to bring people down, and whether it's quarterbacks or running backs, and he just, quite frankly, hasn't been able to do that. We've seen that repeatedly this year.
John Lazor, ladies and gentlemen, 2 o'clock on Saturday. He's got the call. It's homecoming at Virginia Tech, and he's right. This game's not just big for the season, but also big for the program. You'll hear him. 2 o'clock, Mike Burnup, Andrew Allegretta, and kickoff at 3:30. Have a good one, buddy. I'll be listening.
Can I leave you on this homecoming nugget that I always like to throw in from my man Glenn Mason, who's not my favorite guy from the University of Minnesota? He used to say, we're everybody's homecoming opponent so much so that I drive a float to the game. And that's what Duke used to be, but they're not anymore.
Get out of here. Have a good one, buddy.
Come on, that's good stuff. All right, we'll see you next
John
week.
John Lazor. John Lazor, kickoff at 3:30. Coverage begins at 2.